Welcome to another deep dive, and today we're going to be looking at something pretty cool. We're going to be looking at an emergency fieldwork tracking system. So we've got two pieces of material here. One is some marketing material from the company that makes this. It's called Beaconet. And we also have a PDF brochure. And the reason that this is so cool is because you can track teams in remote areas, even from a helicopter. So
That's pretty neat.
Let's dive into it. So first of all, what is this? It's called HazPack. That's HazPack. And it's designed to keep track of teams, assets, and vehicles. And it works especially well in remote areas, like where there's no cell service and there's no other way to communicate.
Right, that makes a lot of sense.
So how does this thing work? Well, the heart of it is what they call LoRa mesh network technology. And you might be wondering, what in the world is that?
Yeah, how does that work?
So basically it allows devices to talk to each other directly over pretty long distances, even in rough terrain, up to 15 kilometers, which is like 9 miles. And even better, it's independent of external networks. So it doesn't need cell service. It doesn't need Wi-Fi. It doesn't need anything like that.
So that's perfect for emergency situations.
Exactly. Now, it's interesting. In the brochure, they highlight in bold letters the words "seguimiento de equipos en terreno personal y activos críticos," which means tracking of field equipment personnel and critical assets.
Okay.
So that gives you a good idea of what they're going for. Now let's dive into some of the tech specs because this thing is packed with cool stuff. So first of all, the brain of this thing is a Raspberry Pi 5.
Oh, wow.
For those who don't know, that's a tiny little computer, but it's actually surprisingly powerful. And it has a touchscreen display and even a mini keyboard.
So it's like a little mini computer.
Yeah, exactly. It even has Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and Ethernet.
So you can connect it to a lot of things.
Exactly. Now, the HazPack itself comes with four SenseCap T1000E trackers.
Oh, okay.
And you can actually add even more trackers to this. So just imagine you could be
A
tracking
whole
in.
team of people.
Yeah, like firefighters or a search and rescue team.
Even wildlife.
Yeah, you could track wildlife in this thing. It's really amazing. So this thing is really rugged. It can operate in temperatures from -4 degrees Fahrenheit all the way up to 140 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow, so it can be used pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, and it can handle humidity from 5% all the way up to 95%.
That's pretty impressive.
And the whole thing is housed in a Pelican case, so it's super durable. It can be dropped, it can be bumped around, it can handle pretty much anything.
Nice.
Now, here's where things get really interesting. There's also an aerial version of HazPack.
Oh, wow, so you can use it from a helicopter or a plane.
Exactly. So basically, you can mount this thing in a helicopter or a plane, and it has a directional antenna, so you can actually extend the range even further, up to 70 kilometers, which is about 45 miles.
Wow, so it's perfect for search and rescue operations.
Yeah, exactly. And the applications of this are pretty incredible. So, for example, it can be used for combating forest fires,
Oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
search and rescue operations, working or doing surveillance in isolated areas,
Yeah.
tactical exercises, even cross-country sporting
Oh,
events,
that's interesting.
tracking assets and vehicles, like we talked about before, and even tracking wildlife.
That's really cool.
So this is not just a cool gadget, it's actually a really valuable tool for a lot of different applications.
So it could really help to improve coordination and safety and
Exactly.
efficiency in a lot of different areas.
Exactly. And I think what's really important to remember here is that this is not just about tracking things on a wrap. It's about connecting people and resources and making sure that everybody is safe and can communicate effectively.
Right. It was about improving communication and collaboration.
Exactly. And I think that's what makes this technology so exciting.
Yeah. And it's also important to think about the ethical considerations of tracking people and assets.
Right, we need to make sure that this technology is used responsibly.
Yeah.
So I think we've covered a lot of ground here in part one, but there's still a lot more to explore. So stay tuned for part two, where we'll dive even deeper into this amazing technology.
Sounds good. Yeah. So taking it to the air, it opens up a whole lot more. Imagine coordinating a search and rescue over a huge area like a mountain range, or like monitoring a wildfire from the air.
Okay, so you've got me really interested now. We talked about how the HazPack works on the ground, but how does it work from the air?
Well, picture this. You've got the HazPack system, same brain as the ground one, but it's mounted in a pod, like you see on a helicopter or a plane.
So it's the same basic tech, just adapted for the air.
Exactly. And remember that 15-kilometer range on the ground? Well, from the air, they can get up to 70 kilometers.
Wow, 70 kilometers. So that's like 45 miles. That's a huge area.
Yeah, so think about how useful that would be for like a search and rescue, where you need to cover a lot of ground quickly.
Yeah, that would be incredible. But how do they manage all that data from up in the air?
So the system is designed to integrate with like tablets on the ground. So the team on the ground can get real-time updates on everyone's locations.
So they can coordinate better and make decisions more quickly.
Exactly.
So it's like having a bird's eye view of the whole operation.
Yeah, exactly.
So we talked about search and rescue. How would this aerial system work in a real situation like that?
Well, let's say the Coast Guard is looking for some boaters after a storm. With this system, they could scan a huge area of the ocean, much faster than traditional methods.
So they could potentially save lives more quickly.
Right, because in those situations, every minute counts. And it's not just about finding people. They could also track debris, which could help them find survivors.
That's a great point. So it's really a very versatile system.
Absolutely. And what about wildlife monitoring? Imagine tracking elephants across a savanna or sea turtles in the ocean.
That would be amazing for research and conservation.
Yeah, we could learn so much more about animal behavior, and that could help us protect them better.
Absolutely. And think about other industries.
Like logistics and transportation.
Yeah, like tracking a fleet of trucks in a remote area.
Right. You could optimize routes and make sure deliveries are on time.
So this technology could really have a huge impact.
Across so many different sectors.
So we talked about how the aerial version works, but what about the hardware? What's different compared to the ground-based version?
Well, the core tech is the same. It still uses the Raspberry Pi and the LoRa mesh network. But there are a few key adaptations.
Like that directional antenna we talked about.
Right, and it's designed to be powered by an aircraft's electrical system.
So it can be used on a variety of helicopters and planes.
Exactly, and it's still housed in a Pelican case. But it's been modified for secure mounting.
So it won't be bouncing around in the cockpit.
Right, and they've also added some safety features, like a backup power supply.
So it's really built for reliability.
Absolutely, and they've also made it easy to use. You can access all the data from a tablet or laptop.
So you can see the location of every tracker in real time.
Yeah, and you can set up alerts, like if a tracker enters or exits a certain area.
So it's like having a virtual command center right there in the aircraft.
Exactly, and you can even download historical data for analysis.
So you can really learn a lot from this system.
Absolutely, and what about obstacles, like mountains or buildings?
Yeah, how does the signal get around those?
Well, that's the beauty of the LoRa mesh network. The signal can hop from one tracker to the next.
So even if one signal is blocked, the data can still get through?
Exactly. And the directional antenna helps to focus the signal.
Okay, so we've covered the technical details, but I want to take a step back for a minute and think about the bigger picture.
Okay, where are you going with this?
Well, we've talked about all the practical applications, but what about the philosophical implications? What does it mean for our society to be able to track things so precisely?
That's a really good question. I think it raises a lot of questions about privacy and security and how we use technology responsibly.
Exactly. We need to make sure that this technology is used for good. So before we wrap up this part, I want to leave you with something to think about. What are some of the potential unforeseen consequences of this technology?
That's a great question. As with any powerful technology, there are always unintended consequences. So it's important to be aware of both the risks and the rewards.
Welcome back to the show. Okay, we've talked a lot about this HazPack system and how it works and all the cool stuff it can do, but I'm curious, like, where is this technology right now? Is this something that people are actually using out in the field, or is it still kind of in development?
Well, the material we have doesn't say specifically who's using it yet, but it does talk about all these different applications, like emergency response and search and rescue, and even scientific research. So
it sounds like it's probably being used by organizations that work in challenging environments.
Right, like where they need really reliable communication. And tracking, even when there's no cell service.
That makes sense. So those are like the early adopters. But what about accessibility? This seems like a pretty high-tech system. Is it only for organizations with a lot of money?
That's a good question, and you might think that. But actually, one of the interesting things about HazPack is that it's built to be pretty affordable.
Really?
Yeah. The core components are actually quite cost-effective, like the LoRa mesh networking and the Raspberry Pi.
So it's not as expensive as you might think.
Right, and especially when you compare it to like traditional tracking systems that use satellites or cellular networks, which can be really expensive.
And those might not even work in remote areas.
Exactly. So in the long run, HazPack could actually save organizations money.
That's a good point. So it's kind of like how personal computers used to be really expensive. But now they're affordable for almost everyone.
Yeah, I think HazPack could follow a similar path.
So maybe someday anyone could use this technology.
Yeah, imagine adventure tourism companies using it to keep track of their groups in the wilderness.
Or filmmakers using it to document wildlife in remote locations.
The possibilities are really endless.
That's really exciting. But before we wrap up, I want to go back to those bigger questions we were talking about.
Yeah, about the impact on society.
Exactly. What does it mean for us to be able to track things so precisely?
Well, we're already living in a world where everything is connected, and we're collecting tons of data.
Right, and HazPack is a part of that trend.
Exactly, but it's not just about tracking things. It's about using that data to make better decisions and to optimize resources and to create a more sustainable future.
That's a good point. So it's not just about the technology itself, it's about how we use it.
Right, like imagine using HazPack for disaster relief.
You could coordinate rescue efforts more effectively.
Yeah, and deliver aid more quickly.
And even use the data to predict and prepare for disasters.
Exactly, and it could also be used to address big challenges like climate change.
Right, you could track endangered species.
Or monitor deforestation or study pollution.
And all that data could help us make better decisions.
About how to protect the planet.
So this technology has the potential to do a lot of good.
Absolutely, and it's important to remember that this is not science fiction. This technology is here right now.
That's true, and it's already making a difference. So it's really up to us to decide how we're going to use it.
And to make sure that we use it responsibly.
Well said. So to everyone listening out there, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and most importantly, stay curious. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll see you next time.